take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5, find verse number 30. John chapter 5, verse number 30. John chapter 5, verse number 30. Then, I want you to find another verse, 1 Corinthians 16:13. 1 Corinthians 16:13. So stick a finger in John 5:30 and then a thumb in 1 Corinthians 16:13. And if you're confused, it's okay. Just act like you know what you're doing and we'll get past this. Stand with me, if you would, please. John chapter 5, verse number 30. I'm going to read it and then we're going to go to that verse in 1 Corinthians. John 5:30, it says this: "And I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." If you look back at me for a moment, this is Jesus Christ speaking. And if Jesus can say, "I can't really do anything on my own, I need the Father," I'm going to guess you and I as human beings ought to take the very same attitude. The very same attitude. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. And the Bible says this: "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." We're going to let that verse get us started, or those verses get us started. The sermon tonight is called Midlife Crisis Prevention. Midlife Crisis Prevention. And let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Help us, Lord, to relax and make it so our minds can absorb the truth, the teaching. Father, I certainly want to help our church. I want to help our people. But God, most of all, I want to glorify you in the wisdom, in the truth, and the teaching that's taught tonight. Bless us now, Holy Spirit. Help us all to get on the same page very quickly so that we can learn, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. The verse, 1 Corinthians 16:13, to me is a great, great verse for this thing of our midlife. The Bible says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong." This thing that they call the midlife crisis is a time of instability. That verse tells you what to do. That verse is very good for a time of instability. Now, if I could, I've got a good handful of people in here that would say that my age would cause me to be under what we would call midlife. Okay, and you're right. But I would tell you this, it won't stay that way. You're going there, whether you like it or not. To those of you who are older and you would say my age tends to fall above what we would call midlife, then listen very carefully. Say amen every once in a while, because I'm just sure that your years of experience is about to say, uh-huh, that's true. Right there, that's very true. But I would tell you this, we have a mass of people that fall into what they would consider midlife. What is midlife? Oh, you'll get different opinions about it. It's somewhere between the age of 50 or the very late 30s through the age of 65. You say, "Well, I don't like that." Okay, but you're going to have to accept that it's going to happen to you sooner or later. You say, "Well, what is a midlife crisis?" Well, so you know, it's not a medical condition. It's not a psychological condition. It is simply an era of life where our responsibilities add up to being a heavy load. The potential heavy load then brings the possibility of additional stress and decisions. The crisis comes if the individual does not handle the stress properly or the decisions properly. Midlife for many are the years of greatest success and greatest accomplishment. Now, there's no need to crash. There's no need for crisis. They didn't used to talk about a midlife crisis. This is something that our society has developed over the years, because they're always trying to figure out a way to label life. There are thousands of sermons that you'll hear preached to young people, trying to guide them through their youth. You'll even hear sermons to older people, telling them to stay active and stay involved in their senior years. You don't hear a whole lot about what we would call the middle years. Now, you know, if you think about it, if the midlife is 40 to 65, that's a 25-year span. Now, just using numbers, that would mean a young adult, if a young adult is from 18 then through the age of 39, you've got 21 or so years. That's not as many years as the 25. And then they say, and don't let this scare you, but life expectancy, the average life expectancy here in America today is about 78. So if then the senior years are 66 to 78, you've only got about a dozen years there. Notice that the midlife era is the largest adult era. Yeah, a couple of you, you're checking out soon, so you just be thanking God you're sucking air tonight, old man. So just when you look at the numerical breakdown or the logic of it, this thing that we call the midlife is the largest span of activity for an adult. Well, then that tells you why there's additional pressure and there's additional responsibility just because there is more life to live. The world speaks of the midlife crisis. Now, I happen to believe the middle years may be the ones that have the most potential for good. And as Christians, we shouldn't be sucked into the philosophies of the world. Be honest, the world full of knuckleheads. We don't have to go through a crisis because the world says you go through a midlife crisis. The world speaks of the midlife crisis. It really has very little to do with you physically, although bodies change, and for instance, my midlife crisis is my midsection. It is in crisis right now. Really, the midlife time is not a midlife crisis physically. It really, midlife crisis is a decision making crisis that we place ourselves in. I break down life if we use those three parts. If you use youth and then midlife and then the senior years. Your youth, that's the training mode, the starting mode. The time to learn how to succeed and you get started toward your success. That's the bubblegum stage. Midlife, what's that? That's the production mode. That's the time to live what you learned and to take what your youth gave you and now make something out of it. That's where you go from bubblegum to chewing gum. Then your senior years, that's an example era, a time where others will see what your training accomplished and you get to show what you did with your life. That's not bubblegum nor chewing gum, that's the polygrip stage. I would not recommend chewing anything any longer than what you need to. Now, both biblically and historically, we see that the middle years are years of extreme importance. They're years of great challenge and value. Moses was approximately 40 when he first moved within himself to deliver his people. Joshua was near the age of 40 when he brings back a report from Canaan land to start that great spiritual career. He wanted to conquer the Canaan land. You know, it was Elijah. He was somewhere between his 40s and 40 and 45 when he was depressed underneath the juniper tree. Why? If you think about it, he had taken on an awful lot of responsibility at that point in his life. He wasn't the kid preacher anymore. Everybody was looking to him and he was producing. And that production added stress in his life and it got him down some. Martin Luther, the catalyst behind the Protestant Reformation, was in his 40s when he really started to make a mark in life. And so you all know we're not Protestant, we're Baptist. But that's where he was in his 40s. Wesley was in his mid-years when he began to influence people in a powerful way. Chaucer was in his 40s when he began to write the Canterbury Tales. John Bunyan was in his middle years when he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. Walter Scott was 43 when he published the Waverly Notes. Pappy Reveal started his ministry at age 39. Lee Robertson at age 41 took on the historical Highland Park Baptist Church. Bob Jones Sr. founded Bob Jones University at age 47. Lester Roloff's ministry surfaced and took off nationally when he was about 40 years of age. The Moody Bible Institute was founded when Moody was about 52. Do you understand then, from those late 30s through the early 60s is an era of life. It's productive. It's big. Well, anytime something's productive and big, then there's the added stress and responsibility that goes along with it. My college president of my alma mater, Dr. Wendell Evans, I was in training. I would go every day, and we, among multiple other responsibilities, every day he and I would go and sit, and he would talk and teach me for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. He talked to me about education, about Christian education, about the Christian education movement, etc., etc. I was his vice president. It was already in the making that I would become the president, and I was under training. He told me this. He said, "Jeff, you're going to experience among your staff the most common age for troubles are the middle years." Now, at that time in our entire church system, we had about five schools and the world's largest Sunday school. We had 660 full and part-time employees, if you can imagine. It was the world's largest Sunday school at that time. This is what he told me. He said, as you lead this massive employee, all the massive employees and everything, you're going to have your biggest struggles with people that are in their late 30s and 40s. That's where you're going to struggle with those people. And he's talking about negatives. He said the humility that comes with their lack of training can wear off. That was the youth. He said, and then they get a know-it-all attitude. And so they make bad decisions in their middle years. Matter of fact, many of them make bad decisions that then taint the rest of their lives. They're no longer young and dumb, nor are they old and wise, and they can be very dangerous to themselves, to the church, to their employer. You see, folks, the midlife era is one of extra decisions and testing. I will promise you, in the years that I've had the privilege of leading in ministries and church, I've never really had a problem that was a big problem with the young leadership. Oh, they do dumb things. They paint things weird colors and stuff. But I never really had what I'd call a lot of terrible leadership conflict with the young leaders. Man, I never really had it with the older leaders. But that mid-range, if I took you to the three or four names of the people that caused me the most grief in my lifetime, in my ministry, they were always in their middle years. I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to take my time to say what I say tonight because I really don't want to feel stressed for time. I'm going to say something to some of you you've never heard before. You're not going to find it in a book anywhere. You're not going to find it anywhere out there. You're going to hear it tonight, but it comes after years and years and years of experience with helping people and trying to lead people. And so I want to talk to you about, there's no need, we don't have to have what we call a midlife crisis, not at all. Let me make some comments and I'll show you some things. For instance, many, many people have fallen from serving God in their middle years. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Do you know that I glanced at the Bible, I had to stop. I had to stop studying my first point because the multitude of mistakes by people in their mid-years just over and over and over again, it's seen in the Bible. Samson fell. Probably in his middle years, from all I can tell when I study the Bible, he was in those middle years. You know what he had? He had a false impression of his strength. Samson's strength went to Samson's head. And as a result of it, he blew it. He was in his middle years. Then Saul, King Saul, seemingly, if you would look at the scripture, you would find that he was probably in his mid-years, in those middle years. There was a war with a group of people called the Amalekites, and there were certain things that he was to do as a king and certain things he was not to do as a king. And if I told you the whole story, you would find out Saul decided that he was going to do some things that were only to be done by the priest, and he got cocky and he got arrogant, and his pride got the best of him to the point that He regrets making Saul king. When that happened, when he was in his middle years. So you see, Samson got a false impression of his strength in his mid-years. Saul, he lets his pride get to him in his middle years. David, more than likely, David was in his middle years. You all know the story of David, right? Problem with Bathsheba. Now, one of the things that affects our society and they talk about the most, and if you Google midlife crisis, they're going to talk about people having affairs in their middle years. I mean, that's what everybody worries about. Midlife crisis means my husband or my wife's going to cheat on me. They're going to go find someone else because they're living a life of dissatisfaction, and I'm a part of the dissatisfaction. But if you look, it was in David's middle years that David made his mistake with Bathsheba. So may I say to everybody in here, whether it's man or woman, I would be careful because it is an era where a lot of people make mistakes with their morality. It's not just teenagers that make mistakes with their morality. I believe that Judas was probably at the lower end or middle years. You say, what did he want? Well, that's where he virtually went down in history for being disloyal. And you say, why? I'll tell you what I think. I think that Judas wanted to rub shoulders with certain group of people, so he sells out Jesus so that group of people will like him, and he became disloyal to the Son of God. But at what age? The middle years is when Judas got labeled disloyal. Do you know how old Ananias and Sapphira were? From all indications, Ananias and Sapphira, the ones who lied about their giving and end up dead over it, they were in their middle years. The middle years are the years that you'll make some of the stupidest mistakes financially. Well, when you were young, you didn't have any money to make many mistakes with. That's back when rice hot dogs seemed like, you know, steak. But you hit your middle years, you got a few bucks in your pocket, don't you? You begin to eat just a little bit different. And then if you're not careful, though, you'll misuse the prosperity that God gave you. There's a man by the name of Demas in the Bible. Demas went down in history where Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So Demas, I believe that Demas, if you studied him, you would find out. There's a Greek historian. His name is Flavius Josephus. Josephus was pretty well on the ball in that era in writing about the history of different Bible characters. They would probably say that Demas was probably in his middle years when he became worldly, wanting things and the power to get them. And now he no longer wanted to serve God, but he wanted to succeed. And I don't know, maybe Demas said, I don't want to be poor, I'm not going to be poor, and if I got to give up serving God to go make money, I'll do it because I want to get something out of this part of my life. Did you know that Benedict Arnold was in his middle years when he went down in history as a betrayer and a disloyal person? If you checked and you studied, you would find they speculate Job's wife was in her middle years when she said to her husband, curse God and die. And there are ladies in here, you'd say, well, you don't have to be old to say that to your husband. I'm willing to say it now, and I'm young, and I'm willing to say it now, and I'm old. Curse God and die. Naomi, When Naomi left Bethlehem, Judah, and got backslidden and went down in her life, she was in her middle years. She ended up losing her husband and two of her sons because there was a bad decision made about where to live. They got backslidden. The word Bethlehem, Judah means house of bread. They left the house of bread to go someplace to find bread. What were they thinking? They had if you will, they had what they needed spiritually, but they made a move based on something other than spiritual decision. And it cost them. So if you look in the Bible, and like I told you, I had to stop. Because as I started researching, I love to research the Bible. I kept finding name after name after name, situation after situation, where the middle years are where some of the biggest mistakes were made. And though I'm not going to tell you about it, I also studied the middle years were some of the greatest producers and some of the greatest people ever made great decisions in their middle years. Midlife crisis, again, it is not a physical condition. It's not a psychological condition. It is the misuse of what God's given us. We turn it into a crisis by making bad decisions at a time when we're busiest and most responsible in life. Let me go on. So, number one, many have fallen in their middle years. Number two, bad decisions and mistakes in that season of life are a little extra dangerous. They're a little extra dangerous. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." But bad decisions made in the mid-years, they're a little extra dangerous. They can cost you a little extra. Why? Well, really, you have a little less life and a little less strength ahead of you. You don't have as much strength as what you had behind you. You know, you can make a lot of mistakes when you were young because you had time and energy to make up for it. But when you're in that mid part of life, you just don't have as much strength, and you do not have as much time to make up for the mistake. Youth has a time to recover from bad decision. Old age basically has the memories of good or bad decisions. Now, I'm not saying you can't change your life in old age. You can, but you just don't have as much life to change. It's just how it is. But midlife, boy, you've got to be careful. Because you're getting closer to the finish line. There is far more distance from the starting point. And what you do now is going to heavily affect what you will do with what's left when you enter what we would call your senior years. You know, somewhere in life, it's getting a little late to make a bunch of stupid decisions because you don't have time to recover fully like you would like to. And I'm not trying to douse your faith, but I am telling you, you make enough mistakes in your middle years, you'll have a hard time overcoming some of them as you enter your senior years. I'm teaching on finances on Wednesday night, and I keep saying to the young people, prepare for retirement. I'm telling our kids to prepare for retirement. If our kids and our teenagers will listen to me, they're going to love their pastor someday. I'm going to be dead and in the grave, and you're going to retire and have a few bucks in the bank so you don't have to go to the poorhouse. And you're going to say, I am so glad that old gray-haired pastor that told me when I was 9 to start getting ready for retirement. But I'll tell you, the people that decide to start getting ready for retirement when they're 50, it's a little tougher. And I'm not saying that to humiliate you. I'm showing you the reality of what I'm telling you. You see, bad decisions and mistakes in that season of midlife are heavier on us, and they're a little more dangerous. Let me recommend that you pray over your decisions. And big changes and decisions should be made after much prayer and slowly. And I would recommend this also. Get counsel and let somebody help you to make sure that the decisions, especially in mid-years, are solid and foundational. Why? So you can succeed with what life is left. Number three, midlife is a time of great testing. It's a time of great testing. It's a time where your decision making is going to be tested. You say, in what way? Well, I think the great test in your decision making in midlife is this. Will you use your intelligence or will you use God's wisdom? And that's two different things. See, I went to college, I studied, I got a degree. You better use God's wisdom, not what they taught you at college. I know people that are brilliant that are yet stupid. High IQ, but no spiritual common sense. So midlife is a time of great testing. It's a time where your decision making will be tested. Will you depend on your intelligence or will you depend on God's wisdom? It's a time of testing of your true character. It's a midlife. It's a time of production. And so you all understand, it's not a time to play. Here's the problem with this generation of midlifers. They want to play. Let me tell you something. If you're 75 and you want to go play and you've lived your whole life to buy that beach house and that car and you want to go golf, have at it. But the problem is you got a bunch of 35 and 40 year old people that want to play now instead of work now, but it's working time in your mid years. That's what makes it retirement special. I know a lot of people that made enough money to retire when they were 40 and they were miserable when they got 60 because they'd played away all their mid-years. Virtually suicidal. Because there was no territory to enjoy or conquer. You see, the mid-years, they're years that test our character. They're years of self-control, not covetousness. They prove our character in regard to our time usage and our money usage. Your middle years are going to set the pace for your senior years. And those are going to be very important years for you, I promise you. Look, the middle years are a testing time. It's a testing time of your decision making. It's a testing time of your character. It's a testing time of your morality. As you know, I said earlier, you Google it and they're just, everybody's freaked out about midlife crisis. My husband left me, my wife left me, and you got 40-year-old men leaving their wives for 20-year-old women. Could I recommend that if you're in your middle years that you watch your morality and extra? Watch it extra. I've counseled thousands of people. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. Well, we're basically together because of the kids. May I explain that you are together before the kids and you're supposed to be together after the kids leave your house, and kids are not the glue that holds a marriage together. If that's where you're at, you need to get your priorities straight. You made a promise you're going to get married and stay married to each other. Now you do that. But in the mid-years, there becomes a morality issue. And then there are people who go out and become immoral in their mid-years. And I'll say, well, you know, the midlife crisis, phooey, it was a disobedience. You can't blame the midlife crisis. They didn't even use that term 100 years ago. It was developed by man for people that hit the important years of life and don't do what God wants them to do. That's all it is. So watch your morality. It's a time of testing for your humility, by the way. You got people have a lot of pride problems. 35 to 65, lots of pride problems. Arrogance, self-reliance, prayerlessness. Probably, if you checked, probably the most prayerless group are your midlifers. Why? They can do it on their own. They're now succeeding. Hey, you know, you're young, you don't have anything, you got to beg God. Give me money for gas. Give me money for gas. Midlifers, you don't need it. When you're older, most of the time, your relationship with Christ has matured and you like being with Him. It's not out of desperation, but midlife, you're so busy. You're so busy doing your thing, making your mark and succeeding. You don't have time to pray. You're too busy to pray. Be careful, midlifer. It's a dangerous error. There's a reason why we call it the midlife crisis. Now, it's something we bring upon ourselves. But let me go on. I've got to hurry. Number four, midlife is a great time of responsibility. Remember, youth is a time of training and preparation and launching. Old age is, a lot of times, it's a time of reflection, memories. It's a time of example and enjoying some of the prosperity. Middle age is a time of production. Look, middle-ager, you're not an untrained youth anymore, and you're not a 90-year-old, energyless senior citizen. It's time to wisely make the most out of your life. Some of the conflicts in the middle years. Children and teenagers, and especially teenagers. You say, there is a crisis at my house. I have a teenager. That is about as close as we've come to the truth all night. And you know, when the little ones are little, they're a little easier to handle. And so you all know, those of you that have little ones, and you look at somebody else in the church that's rearing a teenager, and you're critical, and you say, well, if that was my kid, I'd do this or that. You might want to hold your tongue till you get you one of these critters we call teenagers, because you ain't seen nothing yet. You say, well, my three-year-old doesn't talk back. Your three-year-old doesn't even talk yet. You don't judge a man till you walked a mile in that home with a teenager and you find out. But I'm telling you, in those middle years, most of the time, your kids are to the point where you're rearing young adults or teenagers. And there's something that happens. I can't describe it. What are the areas of conflict where these responsibilities pick up for the middle years? The children, especially when you're rearing teenagers. Hey, with your marriage, basically, the honeymoon's over. You stay married because of principle, not because of passion. The hair has changed. The body's shifted. It's not new anymore. It's not as exciting. It's not as fulfilling. So you say, well, I want excitement. You never step outside your marriage to find that. You say, well, wonder if it's going to be lame from now till the day I die. Then you do what is right and you keep your commitment and you stay moral and you stay clean. That's what you do. I hate to tell you, there's a bit of a loss of romance. Now you do what you do on purpose. It's not petty carnality and juvenile behavior. It is, I am married, and this is how married people behave. And that's how you're careful not to have a midlife crisis. At this age, the responsibilities of life seem many, and they're a little overwhelming. You're training in dreams. You know, I dream and I trained and I went to school and I practiced and I got ready. Okay, midlife hits and now everything you dream for and work for has come true. And you're saying, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want the responsibility of these kids and I don't want the responsibility of this house. And my business is booming and I don't want to do that. And I all this stuff is coming in on me. I thought it's what you wanted when you were young. Now it's here. You say, what do? Grow up. And do what midlife people do. They take the responsibility of life. They take the bull by the horns and they live their life successfully. That's what you do. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. It's what you dreamed of. Now God's blessed you and you're living the American dream. I wonder how many times I've thought, I wish I could go home. I wish my dad was paying for the groceries. I'd be willing to let my dad boss me at this point in life. Hey, face the reality. You're there. Now live it. I've got to hurry. Number five, the middle years are years of self-revelation. Self-revelation, you say, what do you mean by that? In your youth, you were too busy, too simple, or too zealous to really evaluate yourself well. And in your youth, look, if you make mistakes, you can recover. Youth lives with the future in mind. In old age, you feel a little stuck with yourself. But in old age, you're not living with your future in mind. You've just forgotten most of your past. And so you know, youth, listen to this very carefully, youth looks to the future. Old age looks to their past. Midlife must face themselves. And a lot of people can't do it. Midlife becomes an interpreter of what you have become. It's what you are. Midlife is the future you counted on in your youth. Midlife, and when it's where the memories of old age are created. See, let me recommend something to you. I think one of the mistakes we make in midlife is we spend way too much time looking at ourselves. We become way too self-absorbed. You say, what do you do about that? Well, I'd recommend you keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Bible. Keep your eyes on godly goals. Keep your eyes in the book. Because I'll tell you what will happen in midlife if you're not careful. You become so introspective, and it all becomes about you. And there's a self-centeredness in that. I'm trying to hurry through this, but I think if you'll listen, those of you that are young, if you're listening, if this is where you're going. If you're in the middle years, I hope you're seeing the reality of it. Surely, the common sense of it, you're saying, oh, that is very obvious. And if you're older, you say, that's it. If you all will listen to what's being said, it will help you. Now, your middle age or your middle years should be years of maturity. I'm almost embarrassed of middle-aged America. They act like juveniles. This is a mature age. You're to be a mature parent now. You're to be a mature church leader. Hey, be a mature business owner. If you're in your middle years, you don't have a whole lot of time to start all over and redevelop it all. Get it together. Hey, middle-aged people, this is not a time to act like a teenager. It's not a time to make juvenile decisions. Don't dress like a youth. Don't talk like a youth. Don't spend your money like a youth. Don't think like a youth. Don't have friendships like a youth. Face it, you're all grown up now. No, you're not a finished product, but you're far removed from where you started. And you should have a maturity about yourself. Look, if you're a middle-aged Christian in this auditorium, there ought to be a lot of people that look to you for stability and maturity. They ought to look and say, that lady right there, that man right there, they're a rock. They are solid. Middle age should not be a time of emotional decision making. You make your decisions by principle. Middle aged people, this isn't the time for you to be easily offended. So, hey, you don't get your way about something, so you're going to leave your family, you're going to leave your church, grow up. Just grow up. Middle-aged people should not be, by the way, intimidated by seeking counsel. You ought to have it together well enough at this point in your life that you can walk in and say, I need a little help, and you get it, and you just realize that counsel is a way that God helps to strengthen you. You should see life seriously enough that seeking counsel is no longer a pride issue, but it's a smart thing to do. Let me tell you about my church. The young people, the young unmarried adults, and the young married couples flock to me for help. Get this. I have senior citizens that come to me all the time for help. All the time. And my mid-rangers, they're going to do it themselves. They got it handled. They don't need any help. They would be embarrassed to get help. Just think. Think about yourself. You don't need anybody, do you? You're smart. You got all the solutions. It's amazing you even need a pastor. Matter of fact, I'm shocked God didn't choose you to be the pastor. Because you're brilliant. You're very self-impressed. That's the mid-range. That's the danger of it. Let me say this next. Middle age should be that, again, mature age. Think hard before you fiddle with occupations and what kind of home to buy and messing up your marriage and your children and all of that. Listen, you have in your middle years, you have less energy, but more wisdom. Use it. You have less time, but you have more knowledge. Use it. You have less drive, but you have more understanding than at any other era of your life. Use that understanding. You have less muscle, but more experience. You have less time to be an adventurer, but you have more common sense. You have less options, but more insight when choosing from those options. Now, the Bible's pretty clear. The Bible has a level of youth. The Bible speaks of seniors, the elderly. And the Bible's clear then, there's a great big center section. And that's where most people live. Just if you look at it numerically in the adult life. And the reason there's a lot of crisis in that era is it's bigger. It is when your goals of life are coming to fruition. And you got to be able to handle it. I wonder how many people, they wanted children. I want children. I want marriage. I want a family. I want a house. Boy, you get it all. And once you get it, you're thinking, what was I thinking of? Then you have the responsibility of caring properly for the heaviness of what God's given you in those middle years. And I'll promise you, if you'll handle it right, when you go into the senior years, you'll be far happier. You'll be far more successful. By the way, you won't have as much fear. But the middle years are quite important. And that's why I use this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men. Be strong. To those in those middle years, be very careful.